Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Wade Bowen, one of our favorites, two-time podcast guest. Well, last time with Randy, and we were just talking about artist bars and Randy owning some. But isn't that like a stage of a career? Don't you see this even in Nashville? It's like you get so respected, so well known. You're just like, what else do I do? Like, yeah, I'm gonna go open a bar, right? Is that on your radar eventually?
Yeah. I've actually owned a barbecue restaurant, a bar. My wife opened an ice cream sandwich shop. I mean, I've tried it all.
Oh, nice.
The ice cream sandwich shop and the barbecue restaurant both unfortunately suffered because of COVID, so we shut those down. But my bar, Papa Jack's, was in Kyle, Texas, which is just south of Austin. And back in the first part of February, it burned down to the ground.
Oh,
so,
oh wow.
Yeah, being the bar business is it's crazy,
not easy. What do you look for in a good, if you're going to like a dive bar, whether it's Texas or anywhere, what are you kind of, you're like, we've had some of these conversations about what makes a good dive bar, a good dive bar. Maybe your bar wasn't a dive bar, of course, but just in general, those like places you can go and there's a silence and you can drink. Maybe it's cash only. Maybe the jukebox. Yeah. Maybe a little 30-year-old TV sitting on a piece of plywood.
Yeah. I mean, mine wasn't exactly a dive bar. It was pretty, I would say, on the smaller side, but we tried to make it a little more high end. But my favorite dive bars are the ones that have the coldest beer. I mean, like, it's a different kind of cold beer. You walk in and like, oh yeah, that's a beer now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the great music on the jukebox. I would always love a good jukebox as well.
And now, nowadays they're like digital. You have to like, you know, you can like play it on your phone. I feel like it doesn't have the same kind of thing as like putting in cash and flipping through the albums like you used to. And it like would roll up and then like drop down. Like, there's something cool about that. I mean, I don't know if you can even find those that often these days, but
you can.
Old Town Ale House.
They're harder to find, but you know, like, I've got one of those in my house, and you're right, it is different because, like, I've got a jukebox. It's a CD jukebox. It's not a vinyl one, but it's an old school CD jukebox. You hit the button and it flips pages, and it just sounds different. Like the moment I go in that room and hit it and turn something on, some Haggard or Hank Jr. or something, it immediately makes me want to start drinking beer. It just has that sound to it. It's just like, ah, oh, that sounds like a good cold beer, you know? And that those digital things do not have that.
No. That's me when I walk into the garage and I'm like trying to find something to do. And I'm like, I should probably have a beer right now from the garage fridge. Cause that's, within the house, the garage fridge is the best beer in my opinion. But
yeah, I agree, man. Well, that's what my room is. I've got a writing room that's kind of a bar room. It's kind of all a jack of all trades room, you know. And I use it to write. I actually built it to write, and it's turned into kind of more of a bar. But yeah, I have my necessities in there, my vinyl player, and my record player, and I've got all my vinyl in there, and then my jukebox and a bar, and just all the necessities. Which, those are necessities for songwriting too. So they go hand in hand.
Are you a big vinyl guy? I imagine you are.
I went through a big phase a few years ago, and I've kind of died off a little bit. But if I see something now where I just have to have it, I'll still thumb through the antique stores when I can, just for fun.
Yeah, like some people swear by it, and then other people, you know, they're say like, oh, I can't hear the difference or anything like that. But also, like, I think there's something cool about going to a record store, and it's like, I don't know what's going to be there today. Like, a lot of the times the records are old when I go there, and it's like, these are used. Sometimes they have new stuff. They have new stuff too, but like not that much, especially not country where I live here in Chicago. So it's like,
right.
You know, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to find. And I actually just got Wanted, the Outlaws record. And I was just like, oh man, this is awesome. Like there's like a nostalgia feeling and taking you back. And I just think it's like cool. It also makes me more intentional about listening to music, where I'm not just like on my phone playing Spotify in the background. It's like, all right, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to listen to it. You know, it's not like background noise sometimes, which music can be, you know?
Yeah. It's an effort. It takes some effort for sure. I mean, I love the process of that. I think it's funny that my 16-year-old, you know, he's got an old, I bought him an 89 Dodge pickup, and he's got a tape player in there, and he loves it. Like, I'm like, hey, I don't really want to mess with the dash. I want it to be original, but, you know, if you will find a way. And he's like, no, I love it. He collects tapes now. He listens to vinyl. I literally just bought him a vinyl last week. I mean, he loves it. So, you know, I think there's something too. I don't think it's just to be cool. I think there's something about the younger generation appreciating the vintage sound is what they're experiencing. You know, they're liking that process of hearing it the way it's supposed to be heard, the way that we've always heard it, you know. And there is, you know, there is something very cool about just being able to pull up your phone, you know where my phone is, you know, to pull up your phone and access any song you want at any time. Yeah, that's cool. But, you know, when you're taking time to actually sit down and listen to music, there is a sound that comes off a record or even a tape player, or, you know, just, it just sounds better.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Spotify kind of was blowing up back in the day, and I try to explain it to my parents before they had smartphones. It just like wasn't registering. They're just like, what?
Nah.
I'm like, no, yes. Cause they were born in Europe. And I was like, you can look up that artist. She's like, what? I was like, yes.
Yeah. Like,
and it was just like, it's so funny. Cause one of my few, like music memories when I was really young, I remember my dad like teaching me how to like change a tire. We were in the driveway and we had like the radio playing. You would put the tape in and record a song, but you got to hit that record button. And if you don't, too late, you miss them at the beginning. If too early, you got the commercial. There's no turning, there's no editing. So it's just like, you just drop what you're doing, you sprint to it, you hit the record button, and you got that one song ready to go. He's just like, I say kids these days will never understand. It's like, I just have like a 1.5 year old, but I was like, this, when he's old enough to care, God knows what it's going to be. You're going to put it contacts in your eyes and you're going to think you're in Paris. Like you're going to like,
no kidding, man.
Seriously.
How much like, further can it go? Right.
It's going to go a lot further. I think the AI is going to become contact lenses. I was reading some creepy shit.
My gosh.
And then like Elon Musk with the mic, with the whatchamacallit thing,
the brain chip will just play the music in your head so you could be walking.
So when you're thinking of the song, it just starts playing or something.
Wow. Like, come
on. As a creator,
what the heck?
As a creator of art and music, how do you feel about the future?
There's always going to be the traditional people, I think, that want the traditional stuff, no matter the age, like you just talked about your son.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm having a hard time with the present, so I don't know about the future.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's just, as with everything, we adjust and we'll adapt and we'll figure it all out. I mean, I'm on Apple Music and Spotify 99% of the day. So, right. I mean, it is what it is. You adjust with the times to figure it out. And, you know, according to Back to the Future Part 2, we were supposed to be way more advanced by now. So we need to get it going.
Right, right. You recently played a show in Nashville, Exit Inn, had a number of special guests come in, show up. Miranda Lambert, Charlie Worsham was there. What is it like playing with Miranda? And she's a fellow Texan. What's it like sharing the stage with her?
It's hard to explain, man. She's just, you know, I know she and I have been friends for, golly, I don't even know how long now, forever. But and she'll always be that, you know, friend to me. Just whenever we get around each other, we just pick up right where we left off. I feel like old family, you know, I feel like it's an old cousin or something. I don't know, like a long lost friend that we just picked up right where it is. And it's always a blast. But when she starts to sing, every time she blows me away. You realize why she is a superstar, why she is who she is. And, you know, when we, you know, a few months ago, I caught her show in New Braunfels on an off night. She played on a Sunday or something. And, you know, so I finally got to just sit and watch her show. And it's just, she's just, I mean, it's the reason she's just won Entertainer of the Year and all the awards that she's done and all the things she's achieved through the years. When you hear her sing, it just feels different to me. It's just something very special about her. And it's really cool to have nights like that where she shows up and we're such old friends that we don't even know what the heck we're going to do. Just get on stage and we pull some Keith Whitley out of nowhere or something. I mean, that's the kind of friendships that you love. Those are the kind of friendships that make nights, when you're on stage, they make them special. And Nashville was a very special night because of all of those friends that were there. Leroy Purnell and Red Akins and Charlie Worsham jamming like half the night with us. I mean, it was just a really, really special night.
Also, Charlie, which we've said a million times, but is he not like the most underrated, gifted musician? One of, if not the most, right? Right. Like we're always talking about that. Charlie's just like, and yeah, he's one of the biggest sweethearts we've ever met in this business.
Yeah, he really is. And, you know, just seeing him, I've known him probably, I don't know, going on 10 or 12 years now. And it's always been that case. It's been fun to watch him kind of find himself and figure himself out. I think he's in a really happy, good place right now. And it's fun to see him play. You know, my buddy Jed Hughes is a fantastic studio musician in Nashville. And he and I were in West Texas together at the same time. We're the same age. And he's the same way. When you see people being happy with their lives, you watch them play differently and you hear them play differently. And Jed just played on my new record. And Charlie's the same way. Hearing him play the other night, he's just in a really, really good place. And it's really, you know, with his kid and his wife and all that they have going on, he's one of the nicer people I've ever met. And then you know, you see him, the music business has kind of, man, tossed him around like a tornado, and he's still here hanging out and just doing great. And, you know, it's always fun to get him on stage to just see what the heck he's going to do next.
Yeah.
He brought his mandolin and
oh, I know. He's got tricks. We saw him at like Joe's Bar like years ago in Chicago. And it was like, this is fun.
He just shredded to like 3 a.m. he was with a few other people and it was so much fun. He's always a joy to watch him play. Stupid talented.
Yeah.
Like I play a little bit of guitar, very little and not very
well. You play
very well. And I just like watching that guy, I'm like, I want to quit. Like, forget it. What for? It's over.
Same here. Same here, but I look at guys like him when I'm on stage and I go, okay, that's why you pay guys to do that, because I can't do that, right. You know.
Right.
Well, speaking of obviously like Nashville, Miranda, Entertainer of the Year, superstar, gotta ask you about the big news right now going on about we posted about it. Eric Church canceled a show in Texas, San Antonio. Yeah.
My buddy had tickets.
Yeah, so here's the like I'll just like preface this and let you kind of give your opinion, but It's like we obviously love Eric. We love him like a Miranda type. Like anybody who kind of fits into that like mold within Nashville, like we're always fans of it. People know that, and we're not like FGL people and all that. But it was like almost like the reaction that we saw. We're like, oh shit! You know, we were maybe the first site to post about it, and then everybody, and then it was on the front page of the New York Post. And I was like, whoa, this is like catching serious national attention now. I'm a big sports fan. I know you are too. Your last Instagram post is a Texas Rangers thing. I'm a Cubs fan, so we'll see how the year goes for each of our teams. But we'll
see who's worse.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, Corey Seager, that's a fun signing. But the it's almost unprecedented. There's not really like a point where we can kind of point to be like, oh yeah, no, this happens. It like kind of doesn't. Yeah. In that way, he admitted it was selfish in his response to the fans. But I'm just dying to know for you as a road warrior, as a Texas legend. I don't know, you don't consider yourself a Texas artist, an artist from Texas, but we'll get to that amazing quote. Yeah, but I love that quote you had. We have it in our notes, but it's weird, right? Or I don't know.
When they got the news, an email was sent out from Ticketmaster. And my buddy got it. He immediately, he's one of my best friends in New Braunfels where I live there. And he immediately sent me a picture of that and was like, man, what the hell? You know, what's going on with this guy? And my initial reaction was a little strange. But I will say this, man, you know, Eric is, I think he's gotten to where he's gotten to where he is because of his appreciation and his, of his fans and how much he's always catered to them. Mm. And I honestly think this was a knee-jerk reaction from him, because any other person would just do a generic, you know, due to unforeseen circumstances or whatever the thing, yeah. You know, I'm not going to be able to wait. Eric has right. to cancel the show in San Antonio, which is normal. I mean, I guarantee this is not the first time that someone's canceled for a sporting event. It's just the first time someone's admitted it. Mm. But I think it also shows in his defense, man, like, I don't think it was necessarily right to admit that, but I think in his defense, it shows his care for his fans. He's not just going to come out and give some bullshit excuse and lie to you. He probably regrets it now, but I think he's, you know, this is not a guy that we can, you know, he's not a bad guy. Every time I've been around him, every time I've heard from people, they talk very highly of this guy, and he's obviously doing wonderful things and like, I mean, takes care of his fans beyond right. as much as or as well as anybody there is in the industry. So I think, you know, we all make mistakes and we all work through it and figure it out, and just what I've seen from Eric in the past, I think this is something that everybody needs to just relax a little bit and just, hey man, you know, he's, I think he's more than made up for this with previous stuff he's done for his fans. So. And I think he'll continue to do that.
And our writer, Aaron, who's great. He kind of wrote that article, exactly what you were saying yesterday. He was like, yes, this shitty move, but look at all these times he's gone above and beyond to be there for the fans. Let's like not,
I really think it was from the heart. I think it was, yeah. him trying to be there for the fans and say, look, this is an honest reason I'm not doing this. I'm canceling the show. And I think it's backfired on him quite a bit where he probably regrets it. But I really think he was sincere and trying to be like honest with, you know, so
maybe
we all make mistakes, man. None of us are perfect.
And no. Yeah.
Especially maybe in this day and age, you know,
he's got those courtside seats and he's like, I can't get away with like acting like I'm not going to be at the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's he going to say? I'm sick. I've got COVID. And then
he's going to be on the bench, like McConaughey, like clapping, yeah. You know, like get on your fucking feet.
Like, yeah. I think also deep down, he was like, you know, this is the first time we've ever questioned his devotion to his fans. Yeah. So if you're going to talk about track records and successful careers of people and how much they, you know, how hard they work and all those things, I mean, the guy's unblemished. So here's your one mark, buddy. You're good.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel like. I mean, he's a good dude and great music, and I wish him the best. I don't, you know, it's a day and age we need to just Everybody just needs to relax a lot.
But it's just like, no matter what happens. Right.
Yeah.
Just
like, well, yeah. Just come on, man. You know,
and we have a number
one of, show. It'll be okay. He'll be back. You know?
Right. We have a number of different writers too. And they all kind of weighed in from different perspectives. And like Steve mentioned, one of them was like, you know, let's not forget everything he's done. And then another one is from North Carolina. And she was like, no, you guys don't understand. This is North Carolina Duke. Yeah. Like, it's like, we would cancel school. Nobody goes to work. Like, it's a big thing. And, you know, so it was like, yeah, another think, one kind of brought up Kobe, and like another guy from California brought up Kobe. And he was like, man, you know, like Kobe never took a game off. Cause it was, what about that one fan who saved up all their money for that one time? And it's like, so you know, you see it from so many angles, and, but I don't think anyone, at least here,
he's going to make it up. That's the thing too. Like, he's going to find a way to like make this right, I think. So, but it's like unprecedented news in an interesting way where it's like,
it's weird to see it get national attention, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, but I will say, you know, it is crazy. I'm not sure that I would do it, but I don't know that rivalry either. I'm a huge sports fan. Man, there's very few things I would cancel, you know, for that. But I mean, you know, I've done it for family events and things like that that have come up. Sporting events is different. But once again, I don't know that rivalry. I know this is the first time ever that they met in the tournament, and it's the Final Four. I mean, it's like, man, I don't know. I had courtside seats.
Well, it's like, it's we were too young, or not too young, but we were young enough where we didn't have our little kids and whatnot. But as Wes and I like grew up Cubs fans, like when they made that run, my wife's sitting out here, she's gonna get pissed me talking this story. I'm at her brother's wedding downtown Chicago. I got in trouble. Dude, like they're playing the Dodgers to go to the World Series. And me and a few guys are right, Wes? Dodgers, NLCS. And I'm like, we're in that in between phase of a wedding where you're kind of waiting for the people. You're kind of just drinking. There's no TVs for whatever reason. I was like, so me and a few guys are just watching it on a phone. Then I Google the hotel and I'm like, okay, there's a bar on the 36th floor or whatever. So I just go up there and I start watching and I order this like Japanese whiskey that was like $40 a pour. And I'm like, okay, this is not the way I want this to go. But then they win. And then I blacked out. I got too drunk at my wife's brother's wedding. And my excuse, I was like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, you don't understand what I've been through as a Cubs fan.
Dude, you were texting me to come to the hotel and your wife texted me and goes, you're not fucking coming to my brother's wedding.
So it's like, until you're in that moment, you don't really know. Like, I was like, what you would do. I remember being in a high school, 15 years old, like crying when the Cubs lost in 2003. Like, you know, I was like such a little bitch about it. And I'm like, I'm not going to miss this, even if it's on a TV in a bar.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
Well, I always default to, you know, I always give the artist benefit of the doubt just because I am one. And, you know, like I said, whether it was a knee jerk reaction or an honest, true mistake or whatever, and only Eric knows that. But I will say that I've had the Masters on Sunday when I played a gig in the afternoon. I've had it on stage on TV.
You're a big golfer.
When I was on stage,
right?
I'm a big sports fan, so I mean, you know, I'll defend him. But
you're a Texas Tech guy too, right?
Yeah.
They kill the parlay for me, by the way. I took them to beat Duke, had the parlay, hit the other two legs. And Texas Tech killed it for me.
Well,
defend them, please.
Well, let me just say this. I'll defend them for you right now. Any other day, we beat Duke. In my opinion, there's no way anybody would have beat Duke. There's no way anybody beats a team that shoots when it's a close game and they shoot 71% in the second half. So, I mean, they still only won by 5 points. Right. If they shoot normal. Not even bad. If they just shoot normal, we beat them by 10 points.
Right.
So, I mean, we had a great season. You know, we weren't real sure with the coach coming in and what he was going to do with these players. And man, he just did great. So I'm proud of our boys and proud of our team.
We'll be back.
And we just caught. It's the way the tournament is. You catch people on good days and bad days, and we just happened to catch a a crazy second half of Duke, and more power to them. You know, maybe they're a team on a mission with, you know, Coach K's last year. Who knows?
Yeah. And my biggest regret gambling wise, not that we're getting into this, but when St. Peter's was playing North Carolina the other day, I so bad wanted to take them to win by 15 or more, which the payout was. And like, everybody was like going like, no, they're going to keep it close. And I'm like, phew. And I just like pussied out and I just did like the regular, like North Carolina is going to cover. And I was, but you like add another 10 points to that, which I had. And I was like, ooh. And I was like, fuck. And then I didn't do it. And then you see St. Peter's get their asses kicked.
I took St. Peter's and the points.
There you go. I still won my bet, but I took it, you know, face value. So I was just,
yeah.
But now it's, I had Villanova coming in second. Purdue, I had winning, which was like a long shot.
A homer pick in a way. You're an Indiana
boy. Yeah, I'm from Indiana. So I had Purdue winning it, but it's been fun. I mean, it's been a fun thing. What's your favorite sport to watch? Are you basketball? Obviously you like golf. You like baseball. Are you a football fan?
I love football. I love watching football.
Cowboys, I assume.
I love football. Or Texans.
Cowboys or Texans, yeah. Or?
Oh, Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Unfortunately, sorry, Cowboys, I don't know. Man. It's tough being a Cowboys fan.
Not really tough being a Texans fan. Well, I mean, it is tough because you guys always have like high expectations. Does a true Cowboys fan hate Jerry Jones?
I don't think hate is the word.
Frustration?
I think, like me, just frustration. I'm not sure that.
He fucked up that Randy Gregory,
you know,
deal.
Last few years, I think. Yeah, I think, you know, Steven is more doing more than Jerry is really now. So I kind of put more on Steven. You know, I think Jerry's trying the last few years to take a little bit of a step back, probably not much, but a little
more
bit
more strip club
and let Steven do some of the work. So I think a lot of it's falling on him. Yeah. But as far as hate, no, I don't hate him. I don't think he's ever come in as like a crazy likable owner with the whole Tom Landry thing and all that happened there, you know? So I think he's always just kind of been Jerry Jones. As we all know, he's just Jerry.
Yeah. And as Cubs fans, the Ricketts family, they're trying to buy the Manchester United, right, Wes?
Chelsea,
yeah. Sorry. And it's like they got their World Series. They're like, okay, we're done. We're done spending money. We made Wrigleyville in Chicago like this destination spot with hotels and fancy restaurants. We're done. We're done spending money. Even though they're billionaires and have money up the ass. Okay, now we're going to go try to buy a soccer team
for $4 billion, but we don't have money for Cubs players.
Oh my God, that shit gets you fucking fired up, dude. Like, look at the Cubs lineup this year. It's like, Schwindel.
Triple-A players. Like, you look at the Fox.
Hey, but they might be good. They might surprise me because the division is god awful, but.
Right.
Man. You know, it's tough in baseball too because of no salary cap. You know, like it's like, you know, they can spend the money to get the people if they just figure it out. It's like, you know, it's unlimited if they want them. If they want to figure it out, they can. And it's frustrating, I think, watching baseball now with some of that. When your team is rough and struggling, you're like, come on, just do a little bit of work and put the work in and figure this out, you know. But.
Were you guys pretty jacked for that with that Corey Seager signing with the Rangers fans? I mean, big contract, but
yeah,
got to be pretty exciting, right? Great player.
Yeah, and how cool are the Rangers, right? To like, I mean, I didn't know that. I don't know if you saw that post ad where they sent me the jersey and stuff. Mm-hmm. I got this box and I literally had no clue it was coming, and sent to a few of us and just, I mean, had a whole package full of stuff with a jersey and just a letter saying, I know you guys saw, but I'm explaining for those that didn't. Sent me a jersey with my name on it and with a letter saying, you know, we're just glad to have you as a Rangers fan. We don't want anything back. We don't even have to post about this. We just want to say thanks. I was like, man, that's a class act. I absolutely love it. And I think I've noticed over the last few years, they've been trying really hard to do things like that. So hopefully we'll continue to get better, man.
Yeah.
It was a fun few years there for a while, you know.
There's some talent there. Hey, when you start in 1 week, we're all excited. You know, we're all, you never know.
But. Yeah. It's time to watch Major League. Time to bust out the movie Major League.
Right. I'm a huge fan of Major League. It's such a good movie. Let's get back to music for a minute. One of the quotes Steve mentioned earlier is, he said, "I'm not a Texas artist. I'm an artist from Texas." And you said there's a difference. Like, what does that necessarily mean? Because I feel like lately that's become kind of a talking point with Texas country artists. And there's such a huge umbrella under that, in the sense that, like, you have guys like Coe Wetzel who kind of fall under this Texas country artist umbrella, Whiskey Myers as well. But they kind of make, you know, Whiskey Myers makes rock and roll music. Coe is kind of in his own, like, almost his own brand of kind of what he does, rock influence stuff. So can you kind of elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, I think, you know, Texas music has become almost a genre, you know, for its own thing, right? I mean, right. Red Dirt, Texas, they still haven't classified what the actual name is yet.
Right.
But I think it's become its own genre. And so I think I love that. It's great. And I'm a huge, like that's, it's been a huge part of my career. But I've also, you know, I played Chicago. I played places all over, you know, I played Europe and other places that don't necessarily want to see Texas all the time. You know, they want to hear different characters, different stories and different things. And so I've always, you know, like you take George Strait, for example. I mean, even Miranda, for example, I mean, yeah. She's an artist from Texas and her music, but her music is universal. And I think there's music, Texas music that is very Texas, and it's greatest strength, and it makes it beautiful and amazing. And then I think there's music from Texas that can be more universal and heard all over, and be, you know, I get complaints all the time of people outside of Texas going, "Man, what is it with you guys in your damn state? Why do you have so much pride? Why do you always talk about it? Why is it always Texas? So it's just a little bit of that. Just, hey, look, I'm not trying to, like, just wave the Lone Star flag everywhere I go. I want everybody everywhere I go. I want people to feel like it's a part of their journey, not just Texas.
What's one of your, what are some of your favorite states to play that are or cities or whatever outside of Texas? I mean, you mentioned Chicago, and I'm in Colorado now, and I see that pride in your home state here. Like, I never saw living in Illinois and Chicago, like, people here are, they literally get license plates that say native just to make sure, you know. So I was just curious, like, what are other parts of the country that do you really get a kick out of?
You know, I actually love playing California. When we get out there, I love the scenery and the people, and we have a lot of fun out there. I've always loved when we've gotten a few chances to play in Boston. I've loved Chicago. I've loved almost everywhere I played in Colorado. It's just absolute blast. I don't know. I mean, I just love getting out. I love one of my favorite shows I've ever done was an acoustic show in Munich, of all places. You know, it's like they just kind of awesome. Pop up randomly where you just, like, hit you and slap you across the face. You know, like Will Smith. They just like, what the heck just happened? That was a great crowd, you know? So, it's fun when that happens. And, you know, Munich, I've only played Munich one time, and I cannot wait to go back. It's one of my favorite cities I've ever been in as far as playing shows. So you just never know, man. I just love playing music, and I love getting out, seeing new places, new towns.
And when you're in a place like Munich, like, I imagine you get, like, people, you probably hang out, right, and talk with people because you don't get to go there that often. Are there, like, diehards, sure, like diehard fans who, like, know your catalog and everything?
Yeah, there's diehard fans. There's diehard Texas music fans. There's diehard country music fans who are just, you know, obsessed with anyone that's plays country music. They want to come over and meet you. And they listen to music differently. I'm sure you've heard that multiple times, but they really do. I mean, I'll be playing an acoustic show, and they would literally not make a sound until you hit the last strum, and then the note rings out. Not even when you hit the last drum, but they'll, like, wait for it to ring out a little bit. They have such a respect for music and art over there that they don't want to insult you. It's really, really, really neat to be a part of. And so we'll go visit after the shows with everybody. And it's a lot of that. It's a lot of, you know, we're fans of you because of this. And there's a lot of the, why didn't you bring Randy with you? You know, I get that every damn night. The duo of the year, right?
It's like, they wouldn't let him on the
duo
plane.
Duo group. Yeah. He's too always, drunk. He's drunk.
I always love the, it seems like they have, they do a lot of, what is it, C2C was?
The C2C festival, yeah.
But there's also just like in general, like when artists like yourself go, like there's like a different, like Cadillac 3 or Kip Moore or yourself, like they get so excited for these artists that are like legit, real, like gritty type of artists versus like, it's like you don't see Florida Georgia Line going over there and be like, hey, like everybody's like, yes. Like it's real music that they get excited for, to your point, which I always loved. And my parents would talk about that growing up, like before they came to America, like they're like, yeah, like George Jones, Johnny Cash and this and that. And they come here, they're like, what the hell is this? Like these days when I put on radio, they're just like, I don't know what. Like it's not what we were into when we were going to the bars when we were 20, but
I think they like authentic
stuff.
And I think they really embrace people that can just pick up a guitar and sing or just sing in general and come out of it. And, you know, like that's the way it was in Ireland too.
You talk about the Texas Rangers things. I was on your Instagram and there was a video you had Tito's and Topo Chico, I think, in one glass, and then Shiner, which I know you're a Shiner guy. I love Shiner. I literally had some last night.
I almost bought Shiner for this podcast. And then I was like, I'm not going to give them free advertising.
Even my wife, who's like, I hate seeing dark beer in a glass. She's like, oh, I'm not going to like that. I'm like, trust me, try this. And she liked it. But you kind of did like a little like double. That's not an actual thing, is it? Or is that you were just, is that a way to go?
It's like, no, just, I mean, unless, I mean, you can go there. You can go there if you want, I guess, but I don't. It was just being there. We're filming all this stuff. They came over to my house, like to that jukebox room. That was the room we're in right there. And they just came over doing content, trying to film this, that. And they're just, you know, happened to catch me when I thought we weren't filming. So
the Topo Chico vodka thing, I don't think I've ever had, but that's was that a grapefruit Topo Chico?
It was actually a lime. My favorite.
Okay.
Topo Chico lime with Tito's vodka will change your life.
Dude, I can't even find Topo Chico here.
What? Really? We just bought a 12-pack of bottles. We got it in the garage. Like,
every time I try and go to the store, they're out. Like they just don't have it. I don't know if they're not shipping it here or what's going on. Is it on a boat?
They're shipping it to Colorado.
Off the coast of Los Angeles. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you can get the regular Topo and put some lime in there, but I still like the Topo lime better.
Yeah.
Good luck on finding it. Oh, good if you do.
The grapefruit's great too. I like.
Huge fan. One of your most recent releases, Glory of True Love, John Prine. Talk us through that a little bit. Such a good cover. I mean, such a great song. John Prine, Chicago guy, big fan, obviously, but.
Yeah, you know, Bruce Robson has that thing he does called The Next Waltz, which is
who we're, of course.
And you know, Bruce started doing that years ago. He calls his studio The Bunker.
Yeah.
And kind of does a throwback thing where he just gets you out there, put some band guys in the studio, and he records everything analog, so it's all a tape. Nobody rehearses, nobody knows really what the heck is going on, including me. And get out there and go through some songs, and sometimes it's yours and sometimes it's random cover songs like this John one. I mean, there's no plan, which is the way he wants it, the way he likes it. And it's really cool. Everyone has to listen to each other. They have to kind of play off the vibe at the room, in the room going on. Everyone's in the same room, which is very rare for the studio nowadays. And he just tries to capture magical little moments that happen. I mean, that day, for example, we probably tracked 3 or 4 different songs, and this one turned out to be one of our favorites. And so, you know, he records it all and puts it all out there, gets it all kind of done up. And then he just kind of calls you every now and then and says, hey, you remember that song we recorded 3 years ago? Is it cool if I put that out? You know, and So we work with him on the deal. It's been a little confusing because we had the EP and then this releasing songs and all that in between, but it is a separate project. And, you know, anything Bruce says, I'm in. You know, Bruce is one of my favorite people, one of my heroes, and as a songwriter as well. So it's usually if he says, you know, hey, come on down, I'm in.
Yeah, those next Waltz projects are absolutely phenomenal. Just like some of the best singers, songwriters, just all working together. And is there a little bit of like anxiousness when you're in the studio in that kind of sense where you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, is like you're kind of winging it almost.
Yeah, you know, you would think there would be, but just knowing going in that that's the way it's going to be, you just, everyone's in the same boat. You just kind of, it's kind of cool. You're all just figuring it out together. And, you know, I'd done this thing called the Sequestered Songwriters during COVID.
Yeah.
Where we all, you know, pass songs around from Facebook page to Facebook page, and Glory of True Love was the one I did on John Prine night. So I kind of brought that in. Hey, what do you think about doing this one? And kind of created our own little version of it. So, I mean, it's kind of cool what comes out of nothing, which is what Bruce's whole point is. You know, it's, you know, you just get some talented people in the room and who share a common goal, and that's to try to record something cool. And it's amazing what, you know, I mean, imagine how many times you've sat around with musicians backstage or wherever you hang out with them, doing what you guys do, and how many times you wish you were recording just by listening to someone play a song on the bus or whatever. And that's kind of what Bruce is trying to capture. And it's really cool when he actually gets it right.
Yeah.
Obviously that's a great cover, but I don't know if you ever get bored and go on YouTube and see some of the bad covers people do. Like when a song becomes popular, Tennessee Whiskey came to mind. Obviously Chris Stapleton was like third or fourth on the list of covering that song, but when he made it what it was more recently, you would just go on YouTube and search that song. You want it to blow your head off because like people that can't sing are just trying to like what's going to happen? You're going to sing it better than him. And then you're going to get what's going to happen here. So like, is the cover thing, I know is like a touchy subject with some people. It's like, do it when it means something, not when it doesn't. Do you ever get into this mode of like, you go on your Instagram discovery and you see all the bad covers people are doing there? I don't want to name any names, but if you pay attention to some of that stuff that's going on in the country music world, people are trying to cover music. Maybe they don't say who they're covering, put it on TikTok, that type of thing. You see that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that TikTok, a lot of the covers. Yeah. You know, I know what you're talking about when you mentioned like kind of a touchy subject, which always blows my mind. I've always been the complete opposite. Like I love cover songs.
I like it, especially when you're at a show.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I take a lot of pride in the cover songs and the finale songs and things like that, I think it can really enhance your show, but it also shows your personality and what you love. And, you know, like it really gives a fans a glimpse into, you know, what you're digging or what you're thinking about at the time. And I agree with you on Tennessee Whiskey. Like there's no way you're going to sing it better than Chris Stapleton. That's just, let's not even try that one. But I do love covers, and I've always loved covers. And that's, I get asked a lot, like what's some advice you can give to new and up and coming artists and songwriters. And that's the first thing I say is, learn the cover song, learn your hero's songs, learn the intros, learn the, you know, how they arrange stuff. I mean, learning cover songs is the best way to figure out the craft and why, you know, Guy Clark or John Prine put this verse there or this bridge there or this chorus there. I mean, it's, and it's so much fun. And then to go out and play something, when you choose the right cover in a show,
yeah,
it's really fun to watch the crowd's response and reactions, and every now and then they'll work their way onto a record for me, and that's even more fun. That's the way my version of Please Come to Boston came about. It was just a family story for me, loving it from years and years and years of listening to it, and it ended up making a record because we were covering. Because we were covering it at the time, and So it ended up making the record because we were just, hey, why not? You know, this is a different version. This is a very unique version. And why not give it to people. And so I think when it's done right, it can be a really great tool.
Is that a weird legal process? Like, I actually don't know how that works. And most fans probably don't. When you want to cover a song, it's like, hey, team, reach out to that team. And is it pretty quick for the whole, like, copyright?
Putting it on a record?
Yeah. Like, is that like a headache or is it pretty seamless?
No, it's pretty seamless. You don't have to get permission, but you have to pay for it. So so someone has to get, if I write a song, someone has to get permission from me to record it. But if I release it now, if I release it to the public, then anyone can record it at any time. They just have to pay. It's kind of crazy, but that's the way it works.
Okay. Is there a standard like fee, like royalty fee, or is it something that's?
Yeah, you go through different agencies and pay a mechanical and a statutory rates for them. And there's, yeah, you're just paying the rates for them, man. It's crazy, but.
Yeah. Not as complicated as I thought it would be.
Yeah. It's legislated.
People think that it's going to be so difficult. Like, I can't do that. No, I mean, once it's thrown out there, that's why it's such a process to get a song written and get it out there. Cause you want to make sure it's done by the right person at the right time. And then, I mean, if tomorrow I wanted to cut a George Jones song, it would just got to get the licenses and pay for it.
Oh, nice. Before we let you go here, I wanted to ask you before we let you go, we were talking about some live shows. Wes, you were talking about Randy earlier. And so if you're really hungover, what's your go-to hangover cure? And pre-show, do you have a ritual? Do you do a shot? Do you have any superstitions? What's kind of the Wade Bowen get ready to
routine?
Yeah.
Getting ready for a show, I usually start about an hour before. I'll have a drink and then kind of get in my own little element where I try to get away from people. And then right as we're walking on, we all meet up on the side of the stage in our meeting spot. And I have a prayer that I say pretty much the same every night. Throw in a few extra things here and there based off what's going on with our band or families at the time. But I have a pretty standard set saying that we say every night together, huddled up. And then we go on stage. As far as the hangover medicine.
Once you're, we're two new dads. So the hangover with a young child is almost, you can't almost fucking function.
I don't even want to deal with it. So it's like, I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah, it's almost, well, obviously, you know, it's easier to just not have a hangover. I mean, it's like, right. Man, that's my wife actually
Vitamin.
Quit drinking. My wife quit drinking when my son was 6 months old. She woke up on New Year's Day, after a New Year's Eve. This was 16 years ago. And she felt so bad. And I had gone on to play another show somewhere on New Year's Day, so I wasn't there to help her. She's not had alcohol since. She's Whoa. Like, this is it. In this way again. So it can be, I get it. Like when the baby doesn't care, you know, those babies don't care when you're hungover in the morning. They're going to act the same and still need and want, yep. Cry, whatever. So I don't know. The answer would be, I don't know if there is an answer, man. I mean,
barbecue and a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Barbecue and a Bloody Mary in the morning.
That's like my thing every Saturday, Sunday morning is like, I take the kid and the dog and we go out for a few hours and we go play basketball and we run around. And I'm like, that's my moment to like forcing myself. If I have like a little bit of a lag from drinking the night before, gets rid of it. And then, by the time he goes,
I chug one of those emergency packs. I chug a liquid IV, both of them in the same water bottle.
Okay.
And then we'll crush some Mexican food if I can find it.
Yeah. Mexican food is my favorite.
I'll find something else equivalent, but
nice. I mean, that's it.
That's a good emergency cure.
If we ask Cole Wetzel this, he would say more vodka or something.
Yeah. Care of the dog. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that really is the best answer.
I mean, I'm a hair of the dog fan. You know, that's kind of what I do. I'm like, yeah, I just.
But once you get to the, if you get to a point where it's
degenerate behavior.
Like if I'm on the road for 2 weeks and I'm doing the hair of the dog, I mean, that's, you know, I'm not Co-Wetzel. You know, I can't, I'm.
Your insides are like liquefied, like. Like you put ground meat in a blender and that's your insides. That's what it's like, what I'm picturing. Yeah. You got to come home and be normal. You're like, I have inflammation.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it, I was young, like Co-Wetzel once, but I can't do that anymore. So it's, you know, the hangovers hurt more than they used to is the one of the best country lines ever written.
Yep.
Who's the, is it Lee Bryce? There's that song, The Whiskey Used to Burn. I don't know if that was a cover.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, that's so true. As you get older, like when you're a kid, you accidentally take your grandma's little whiskey out of her glass or whatever, her little crystal glass that she's had for 40 years. Like, you want to puke your brains out. And then you become a 33-year-old father and you have a 1.5-year-old and you're like, oh. You take it and it's just like relaxing. It's just like life changes fast. Like,
all right,
wait. Hey, I got stuff for y'all. Since I love what y'all do. Y'all always have crazy cool headlines and stories and everything. So you should get into a what's the greatest country line written. So I'll put two. I already threw one. The hangovers hurt more than they used to for old some bitches like me. Another great country song, another great country line in a song. There's times I'd like to bed down on the sofa and let some pretty lady rub my back. I mean, come on.
I mean,
I'm writing songs right now in the back of this butt. And I come up with that line and I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to put that in there.
Right. Do you jot down some of your favorite lines and like kind of like, not use it as like a way to write, but use it as inspiration. Just kind of. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, when I hear lines like that, or even lines that make me laugh, you know, I'll write them down, or maybe it sparks a little something off of that, you know, for sure. I mean, that's,
yeah. Have you heard of this?
I made a living off of being a fan of great lines. You know, my favorite written line ever is from Springsteen. He says, oh Jesus, I'm drawing a blank now.
Hey little girl, is your daddy home?
No, nobody's covered that song.
That is, oh yeah.
So nobody's ever covered that one.
Nobody's covered that one. Or a 16. Oh, don't cover that one either. It's in Better Days. It's sad as a man who lives in his own skin and can't stand the company. It's a great line.
Yeah. Right.
That's one like you got to take a hit of the weed pen and hear that over and over again. You're just like, fuck.
It just spins around your head.
Better and better, man.
Love it.
Have you ever heard of this guy called Wheeler Walker Jr.? He's got some good ones.
Oh yeah. He's got some all-time
fun. Hold on, real quick. Like, we'll end it here. So I was playing. My wife was like, "Oh, I like this," and then I was like, "I know she kind of doesn't like." When he gets kind of into his like fucking and stuff, but the newest one, my girl's, what's it called? What's my girl's a country girl or
think she's like, a country music fan.
She's a country music fan. It's not even labeled explicit on Spotify because have you heard it? Yeah. How he pauses. She's a cunt tree music fan.
Oh my God.
You tell me, this was my question. Do you guys have to submit your lyrics to Spotify? Cause you know, they have the lyrics and all that stuff, because if they did, they would look at it and say, this isn't provocative.
It's clean. Vulgar. It's clean.
Every single song of his is labeled explicit except that one, because of how he does the pauses. And I'm like, it's my favorite song he's ever released. He just did it last week or 2 weeks ago, but
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I think you'll have a kick out of it. And in our some of our female employees were slacking us yesterday, like how much they love the song.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's just like a good country song. And he works with like Dave Cobb. And
Dave Cobb's his producer. So,
yeah, so it's, you know, you're going to get good shit. You know, it's not.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, Wade, what do you got going on the rest of the year? New album, new EP, new music, tour? Yeah. What's going on?
We just released that EP back in November. It's called Where Phones Don't Work. We're releasing Phones Don't Work. We released that video. So that's the single currently now. And then once that runs its course, I have already a brand new record in the can. It comes out in August. August 12th will be that one. So lots of new music, lots of stuff happening, lots of tour dates.
Do we have a title on the new album? Can we do breaking news right now?
Yeah, it's called Somewhere Between the Secret and the Truth. Ooh, long time.
I like that.
Like that.
But I'm really excited. I feel like it's the best thing I've ever done. And
you got some, who else is co-writing on it, or is it all you?
I 12, 12 brand new songs. I co-wrote every single one, but I don't know. I don't want to get too far into it.
Yeah, that's all good.
My whole deal is right now, I'm loving playing music more than I ever have. I'm loving writing it more than I ever have. I'm loving singing it. I'm loving playing shows more than I ever have. And so our theory for the last year has been write, record, get it out. And so that's what we're going to be doing. I even had a chat this morning with Randy about the next Hold My Beer record. So,
hell yeah.
Oh, nice. We love those.
Throwing stuff at you, you know, nonstop. Cause I love it, man. I always say I'll quit playing music whenever I stop loving it. And I feel like right now is just, I've never loved it as much as I do. So hopefully that means good things.
Yeah. I would say for me, Wade, you're personally one of like the cornerstone artists of the Texas country scene for me, who introduced me to that in a lot of ways.
Same.
So I love you for that. And I'm just always excited to see what you're putting out every time you drop something new.
We love you, buddy.
Thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. You know, I try really hard to put, I want everything I put out there to have everyone go, okay, man, he really puts a lot of hard work and thought into everything he does. And that's my number one goal. You know, I've been asked that question for years, you know, where do you want to see yourself 5, 10 years, whatever. And it's like, I just want people to look back and think, man, everything he did was quality. Everything he did, he tried, even if it sucked, he tried really hard to make it a point, you know?
And yeah.
I really feel like the stuff we're doing now is the best I've ever done. And I feel like there's like this, I don't know what it is. I feel like there's another thing going to happen with my career, whatever it is. I really feel good, better than I ever have. And so, appreciate the kind words and the support, man. I'm happy to chat with you guys anytime you want. I'm a fan of what y'all are doing. So keep it up.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. We appreciate it, buddy. Wade Bowen. Yeah.
Wade Bowen, everybody.
Love you, man.
Cheers, guys. Thank you all.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.